Alrighty.
Hooray.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yes, we do. So many comics.
Yeah, including classics.
Classics.
According to some people.
When it's convenient for us and a movie comes out.
Yeah. No one asked for it, so we do it when we want.
Yeah, exactly.
And we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Spider-Man : Kraven's Last Hunt. Is that how you put that?
People, you know, colloquially just call it Kraven's Last Hunt, I think.
True. Backbender Matters in the poll list. Also segments, but we start with the news.
Yeah, screw the old shit, Daniel. We're here for the new shit.
Yeah.
That's what new stands for, actually. They abbreviated the last word.
I'm like, old shit? You mean like the shit we read? Or
no, Kraven. Yeah, Kraven Last Hunt, old shit.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, this is the new shit. You know what's new, Daniel?
What?
Green Lantern Corps from Jeremy Adams.
You know, you rub your nose with your middle finger a lot like that, and I see it in the editing, and I'm like, was that to me?
Yeah, fuck you. You're finally noticing.
Is that for future me?
for you to notice. February, I mean, we kind of knew about this, but we got some more kind of details about it. But Green Lantern Corps, Jeremy Adams, Morgan Hampton, and Fernando Passerin.
New series. Okay. And not a part of the Absolute Universe.
No.
Okay.
But it has to do with, apparently, there's a Fractured Spectrum saga that's going on around this time. Mm. So
that means they're going to kill them all.
Maybe. There are too many of the damn Green Lanterns out there. Got to kill some of them.
Get rid of them pink ones.
Yeah. Get rid of the... Which ones are not needed? Those indigo ones. Fuck those guys.
Is that the purple one?
Yeah. I actually like them. They're kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think they're all kind of cool. To be fair.
Mm-hmm. You just really need like the blue ones and the red ones, I think.
Yeah. Blue and red are like top three.
Get rid of green.
Green we can get rid of. Yellow's fine sometimes, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about yellow.
Yeah.
Anyway, neat. Are you excited about that team?
Yeah. Or the creative team?
Yeah.
Jeremy Adams has been doing some good stuff with Green Lantern. So I like that he's, you know, kind of continuing under a, you know, a specific vision. I saw some of the designs that they were going to be doing, and there's like crazy like Green Lantern ships, I guess, and some cool refreshes of like suits, like Green Lantern suits. So,
Nathan, yeah,
pretty excited. What?
I know this is news, but we're going to talk about some old stuff.
Okay, well, old stuff.
Specifically, the years 1958 and 1963.
Good years.
Between those years, we have the Smurfs Archives, which is a hardcover book that it's going to have all the Smurfs comics that came out in that time collected in a 300-page book.
Only 300 pages?
Yeah. Apparently, there wasn't that much in...
From those, like, five years?
Yeah. Because, like, it was just, like, the individual, like, picture books, basically, right? And those are maybe like 30 pages each.
We can see what started it all.
So two a year, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's coming out February 4th. Those would come out in chronological order. They're available for pre-order. They're being printed by Paper Cuts, the publishing company. Have you ever heard of that?
That's a pretty sick fucking name.
Fucking dope.
Paper Cuts.
And then the S is a Z at the end.
Whoa. There's like a little blood coming out.
I mean, no.
They're just printing the Smurfs.
Like kids' comics and shit.
I don't know if I knew that Smurfs was a comic. I always just figured it's like old TV show.
Yeah, super big. And I got one when I was in Belgium.
A Smurfs comic?
Yeah, they're like... Smurfs is like their Superman for some reason.
No, it's not.
dude, the amount of toys that they had for Smurfs was like, it like swallowed the superhero stuff.
Really?
At the comic shop.
That's kind of interesting.
Where is my Smurfs thing? But yeah, because I think it's like a Belgian writer or something.
Okay.
And so it's like.
He's like, we got this guy.
Yeah. We got the Smurfs.
Yeah, we take him.
So I thought that was neat.
Dan, are you a fan of the animated DC movies?
Yep.
There's going to be an animated trilogy based on the comic Batman Nightfall currently in development.
Wow.
So it's going to be...
That's a big-ass series.
That is a big-ass series, which makes sense that there's three movies.
But like, okay, so Infinite Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Uh huh.
How many issues is that? Like 12, maybe?
Crisis on Infinite Earths? Wasn't it like 8?
Yeah, so it's like a maxi series, right?
Yeah.
And they made 3 movies for that.
Oh.
But Nightfall is like 50 issues.
Yeah.
And they're making like, 3 movies for
there's
that.
There's like just only a few big things, though. You know, fights Bane, Bane Breakers is back. And then like there's Azrael, I think, is introduced in that time. So they're going to introduce him. He'll be the bad guy. And then Batman has to fight them both. You know?
So is there like the first trade of Nightfall that we could do? Maybe, right?
Maybe. I mean, we could just cut it off.
Yeah, be like, we did 5.
We should just like find the big issues, like the backbreaking issue, the Azrael issue.
Yeah, we'll just jump around.
Yeah. But it's going to be directed by Jeff Wamester, who did Justice Society World War II. So if people like that one, he's going to be doing all 3, I guess.
Justice Society. Oh, cool. I never watched that one. That actually looks super interesting.
Yeah. I need to watch those.
Okay, so there's a volume 1, volume 2. So they break it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's omnibuses as well. We don't want that.
Nope. Nope.
All right, this one's $20. How much? How big is that?
That can't be that many issues.
Oh, that's Night Quest. That's different.
Ooh. So that's probably like second or third movie.
I wonder. Yeah, there's Nightfall,
mm-hmm.
Night Quest, and Night Send. I didn't even fucking click.
Dude. Night Send.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense. Nightfall and the other Night one makes sense.
Night Quest?
Night Quest? No.
Then you got Night Send It. 280 pages, first volume, the Nightfall.
That's a lot.
It's not too bad.
That's a lot.
I probably have it, I think.
There's no way.
No, I don't have it.
No, there's no way. But it would be kind of cool. I mean, if they can like stay pretty comics accurate so I don't have to read those comics, that would be cool because I am curious.
Surely, right?
Probably, yeah. I think they typically try and stay, unless they're like clearly doing something completely different.
So this is 9 issues, 10 issues.
Nightfall?
Yeah.
And it's 280 pages?
Yes.
Nah, that's too much.
So I guess they're breaking that up into 3 movies.
Maybe. You know? Not much is known yet, Daniel. That's all the Twitter account DCU updates had to say. So
that's cool. Nathan, speaking of animated movies.
What we got?
I guess Blue Beetle is in the animated slate.
Cool.
For DC stuff with Zolo Mardueña.
Is he going to voice?
Come back to voice.
Oh, cool.
Here he's attached.
Is he going to do that weird New 52 one?
Uh-huh.
Remember, it's an animated movie, right? Like DC animated movie?
Yeah.
So like in the vein of like what the Crisis on Infinite Earths one was, or is it like...
That was a New 52 though.
I know, but like, you know what I mean? You know, there's like the DC animated universe.
Oh, you think they'll just show like...
Are they doing like one of those, or is it like a...
I can't imagine it's like a tie-in kind of
like
thing.
Or like a big movie studio kind of thing. You know what I mean? You know what I'm asking?
So are you like a direct-to-DVD kind of thing?
No, no. Is it like a movie that's going to be in theaters, I guess?
Probably not.
Okay, so it's like a DC animated universe thing, probably.
So direct-to-DVD, yeah. Like, yeah, or direct-to-max.
Exactly. I was like, nothing's direct-to-DVD anymore, actually, so I don't know where you're going.
Nothing's direct-to-max either. Like, there might be like a purchase.
Direct-to-max, aren't they?
A purchase-to-rent period, and then it'll be on max.
Okay, but that's what I mean, yeah.
Yes.
So he's doing one of those.
I think so.
Okay.
I didn't look that deep into it, but it seems like it. I can't imagine there'd be a Blue Beetle theatrical release.
Right, right.
So
do you think it'll start with him in the middle of the events of 52, that really long ass comic book we read?
He wasn't in that.
Yeah, he was.
Was he?
Yeah, he started it. He's like first appeared in that book.
No, that was Infinite Crisis.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Wow.
I think you're wrong.
It's like number 4 or something. Yeah. Do you shake bet?
I've never heard another shake bet. I think I'm right.
Okay. Shake bet. Shake at it. Okay.
All right, we shook on the shake bet. Can you explain the shake bet while I look this up?
So the loser will have to drink a large cake shake from Portillo's, which is like a 2,000 calorie cake where they make a milkshake and then they put a slice of cake into the shake.
Oh shit, it gave me like the Ted Kord Blue Beetle. What's his name? Jaime Reyes.
I think it's number 4.
Oh, it is Infinite Crisis.
Is it number 4?
Number 3. You were wrong though, so it's like fuck. Dude, I could have sworn we read it at like during 52.
This is great because your birthday episode, you'll have a cake shake to enjoy.
Yeah, it'll be my birthday cake.
Yeah, maybe that birthday cake flavor.
Oh, that's miserable.
I was waiting because we had a couple opportunities to bet, but I knew I was right about this one.
Yeah, you went all in.
Yeah, because I remember how it didn't seem that important. Because yeah. Like he was the only one who could like see Brother Eye in space or some shit, but Batman needed him.
Yeah, you are right.
And that's how they.
It was a weird modern comics reason why they needed him.
Right. Fuck. And I don't even think he's in 52 at all. But because
he wouldn't have been because it was Infinite Crisis is after 52, I think.
I don't think so, but.
No. Double down. Two cake shakes. No, I don't want to.
You got me double fisted.
No, I can't do that.
Okay.
Fuck.
Nice.
Man, this sucks.
The scales have balanced.
Shit, anyway, they're going to after that shake, dude.
Good stuff, good stuff. What else you got?
Dan, you like free comics?
I love free comics.
Well, good news for you. There's a free comic book day.
Is that in May?
First Saturday in May, but the companies are announcing what they're doing. So let me give you the rundown.
What they're releasing?
Yeah, what they're releasing.
Okay.
So Marvel, they're doing a Fantastic Four / Giant Size X-Men, written by Ryan North, Colin Kelly, Jackson Lansing, and Chip Zdarsky.
Okay.
With art by Humberto Ramos. Chip Zdarsky's doing some of the art. I think he's writing and drawing his own thing.
Very cool.
Which is cool. Iban Coelho and Edgar Delgado. So they're doing some cool stuff. IDW released what they're doing. That's probably what I'm most excited about because they are doing a Godzilla, the New Heroes comic for Free Comic Book Day. And it's going to have like a bunch of different teams doing like a small like Godzilla story. And it'll introduce readers to new characters, premiere new kaiju, and serve as the launching point for our new Godzilla continuity.
Whoa.
There's now a Godzilla line editor.
A kaiju universe.
A kaiju universe, dude. Continuity.
What? What did you say?
So,
say that again to the mic, please.
They're building a world around Godzilla. And he's going to be the king of monsters. Kaijuity. Anyway.
That's sick.
There's a bunch of people that are be a part of it. So that's cool from IDW, but they're also doing a second free comic book day for IDW Dark, which is going to be their horror imprint that they're launching.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
So you're going to get previews of Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Spring, that sequel, 30 Days of Night, Falling Sun, and then two new books, Tuatha and Blood Honey. So they gave like, you know, brief descriptions of those two new ones.
Is that like a horror version of Blood Honey or of Gun Honey?
No, I think it's the Winnie the Pooh one.
Is it actually?
No, it's not.
That's neat.
It says Blood Honey, Gothic High School Romance Gone Bad. And then it has like sword fights and shit. I don't know. And then Tuatha is a story about a young girl carrying a severed head across an Irish mythological landscape.
Huh.
So,
okay.
Pretty cool. I mean, I like that they're investing in like horror stuff. They had a bunch of stuff that they kind of teased down the line with like different properties. There's going to be a Quiet Place book pretty soon, but those ones are going to be part of Free Comic Book Day.
Nice.
So pretty exciting.
Nathan, you like Wolverine?
Yeah.
You like Deadpool?
Yeah.
Well, we got a new series called Weapon X-Men.
Okay.
Coming February 19th.
Have they never done that before?
Weapon X-Men?
Yeah. Have they not called a series that before? It seems...
It's right there.
It's right there.
I've only seen like Weapon X.
There's only two Weapon X-Men, right? Or is there like...
Is
there another one?
Isn't Sabretooth technically one?
I don't know. I guess you get their X-23 in there, maybe.
Yeah. But anyway, new book, you know, featuring them too, you know, off the back of the movie written by Joe Casey and art by Chris Cross. Do you know Chris Cross?
The hip hop group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Cross and make you jump.
Like that one?
I don't know what you did, but I guess so. The rap group is coming in to do art.
Let's go. That's awesome.
Art team. Probably smart.
Weapon X-Men. Okay.
Mm-mm.
That should be fun. Danny, do you want $1 million?
Sure.
Well, you can win $1 million. Actually, I don't think you can directly, but Webtoon is doing a $1 million prize pool 2025 contest. So people at Webtoon, you know them. You know, they do the Infinite Scroller comics, Lore Olympus, but they're on the hunt for the next big webcomic creator. And they've launched Webcomic Legends, a contest launching in March 2025. It has over $1 million in prizes, highlighting emerging talent on Webtoon. And there's going to be 40 different webcomics that will be awarded with cash prizes and the opportunity to join Webtoon Originals program. Isn't that kind of cool?
Is this like a calling, Nathan? Should we make a comic?
I think we need to make a comic.
Gotta learn how to draw.
Yeah, I gotta learn how to write. We gotta learn how to do both of them.
Yeah.
But we have until March. So that's plenty of time.
Yeah.
That's plenty of time to make a nice, impactful comic that'll win us $1 million, maybe.
Definitely. We'll just start one.
Yeah.
And then if we get the $1 million,
then we'll finish it.
Then do the comic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we just have to come up with a compelling premise.
Right.
Nice. I like that. So that's kind of cool. I like when Webtoon does shit. I feel like
that seems like a smart thing.
Yeah, they have a love for the game, and they're like, you know what? Give me all your good ideas, and then you can be an original for us because we lost Lore Olympus. So,
yeah, now we have nothing.
They're like, oh shit, what are we gonna do?
Like, they're riding that high for a while.
Yeah, yeah, they were. What else you got?
Yeah, you like Predator?
I sure do.
You like when Predator fights random Marvel heroes,
especially when they have a loose association with an animal or insect.
Yep. We got Predator versus Spider-Man coming.
Let's go.
We don't know when. We know it's going to be next year, but written by Ben Percy and Marcelo Fieria.
Yeah, I think that's the same team that does the Black Panther one.
Yeah. Did they do the Wolverine one too?
No.
Okay.
I can't remember who did the art for that one. It wasn't McNiven, was it?
No. I feel like that'd be pretty high profile.
That would be pretty hype. But yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I think that personality of like Spider-Man's way different from like the Wolverine and Black Panther sort of personality. So yeah. It should be pretty cool. And I like the idea of like Predators like running around New York, which is probably where most of this is going to be set, I would imagine. Because in the Wolverine one, they kind of go all over the place, it seems like. And Black Panther is obviously in Wakanda. So I like this setting. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Daniel, they're doing a weird Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker comic. It's going to, I guess, be just one of those comics where they redo a Star Wars, but in comics form.
I hate that.
But
it's the worst.
Here's what made me laugh about this is just whoever wrote this. I don't know who. I cropped out who wrote the article, but they said Marvel Comics will adapt the movie into a new 5-issue limited series written by Jody Hauser with art by Will Sliney, including all new scenes not in the final film per PR from Marvel. Will that include more Raylo kissing? Unknown as of press time.
Raylo.
that last sentence, I was like, what the fuck?
God, that's funny.
New stuff, not in the film. Will they kiss? It's unknown.
They might kiss.
So, yeah. I'm going to pick it up and see if they kiss. I'll let you know.
That's very funny.
I don't know when it comes out. But I just thought that line was funny, so I screenshotted it in lettering.
Russ Wooten.
Stan Sakai.
Oh, yep.
There could be two goats. Russ Wooten's great too.
Yeah, multiple goats.
Stan Sakai is doing a new Usagi Yojimbo miniseries to pay tribute to his late brother. It's going to be a 5-issue Usagi Yojimbo The Thousand Plums, which will debut in March. And it's going to just be kind of attributed to his brother. So it'll be a very meaningful series for Sakai and paying tribute. So
damn.
This is what it looks like. Looks pretty cool, actually. In the colors, and apparently he's getting a colorist who is also very close to his brother, who's now passed away. But that should be cool to check out. I mean, that's what comics are for, man.
Yeah.
So it should be good shit. There's going to be a lot of passion in that, so I'm going to check it out. And that's everything I got.
Cool. What book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Kraven. Run it back one last time.
Yeah.
Last Hunt. This is an old-ass comic.
Kraven's Farewell Tour.
Yeah.
Kraven's Last Hunt.
By J.M. DeMatteis. I think that's how you say his name. I'll never know, and I'll never remember if I do figure it out.
Yep.
With penciler Mike Zeck, inker Bob McLeod, and colorist Mike Zeck and Ian Tetralt. Letterer Rick Barker.
So this is a classic, Nathan.
This is a classic old comic.
It's a definitive Kraven thing, I think.
Yeah, this one... I would have hated to read this like as it was coming out because it's split up across like three different comics.
Yeah.
It was like Web of Spider-Man, Peter, or like Spectacular Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man. And I'm like, why are there three different Spider titles? And they're all like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But they were stretched out across those. But Daniel, this is an old comic. They're kind of hard for me to read, but this one's fucking raw.
It's raw.
I loved this.
You did.
I did. I thought it was really, really good.
I thought you were going to have an issue because you don't like old things, like comics and people.
I didn't have any like old comics fatigue with this.
That's valid. This is it's definitely had the Daredevil like born again energy, you know, because it's like the 80s art, but it's not that dense.
No.
There's a shit ton of captions, but like that's all it is mostly.
Yeah. And they have like a lot of really good pacing for like some of the silent moments where they're just like Mike Zeck, Mick Craven be naked and do something crazy, you know?
Yeah, a lot of that.
And I think it's really cool. I think a lot of this feels like an old 90s Vertigo book almost. That's kind of what it felt like with me, because there's like a couple trippy sequences in here where there's people like hallucinating or like fighting off weird metaphors of things in their mind.
Yeah, this came out like 87.
Yeah. So it would have been around, you know, almost prime Vertigo time.
Yeah.
But this shit's really cool. I was like pretty impressed actually, because people say that it's good, but when I see like an old comic, I'm like, am I just going to be reading something that's as like dense as like Watchmen? Which isn't necessarily what I'm wanting a lot of the time. And there is a bit of that, but, you know, he's not really speaking in like metaphors all the time. And it's not like you have to like really make a lot of those metaphorical connections that you're not sure if you fully understand. It's just more Craven being like, my mother was fucking insane. You know? Or he's like, I got to find Spider-Man. I got to hunt him. I got to prove myself or whatever. So that ended up being a lot more. There's a lot more flow for me. And I think it was awesome. Plus some black suit Spider-Man stuff I don't think I've ever read in a comic. And I could see why it was popular.
Yeah.
Because that shit was cool.
It was very cool. And he wasn't like Venom yet. He just had the black suit.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
However that works.
Apparently, I saw like some discourse about when people call Venom Venom and when he's symbiote Spider-Man and when he's black suit Spider-Man. And it all was kind of dumb to me because the symbiote's always Venom, I think. But apparently not everybody agrees on that. He's only Venom when he's with Eddie Brock.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I was like, that's dumb, because Venom has been many people, but...
Yeah. I guess, like, it...
I would get that with this, definition.
Because I don't know if he's necessarily, like, enhanced than how he normally is, you know? Or if there's any anger within him, you know?
Seems like a little bit more angry in the beginning.
There's some hints of that, but...
Yeah.
He doesn't seem, like, different other than, like, how he looks.
Yeah. He's just like, man, that was crazy when I was in space.
But no. What my favorite part of the black suit was, like, there were certain panels where they had, like, you know, tons of blue as, like, the highlight for him.
And it's awesome.
He looks like Batman, basically, with, like, how he's colored in, like, these old comics.
Yeah.
And
they also have, like, a lot of freedom to pose him in, like, a silhouette, because the suit can be so dark. And so, like, it's almost like doing silhouette work. Or if you need to, like, really focus on certain parts of it to give them dimension, you can do that too with those blue colors. And so I thought the colorists did a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's get into it. So it starts issue one, or Web of Spider-Man 31.
First page, Nathan.
First page.
Craven Hunter is naked.
He's naked as hell, dude.
Where's his meat at?
I think he's bricked up. or else
we wouldn't be able, it's cold in there.
Yeah, they did leave some room to where if he was packing something, we'd see the silhouette.
Yeah.
But I think he's bricked up. But it starts off with Kraven. He's fighting off, like, trophy kills, I think. Like, I don't think these are live animals.
Yeah, they're, like, stuffed.
So he's like, let me look cool fighting these stuffed
animals.
And so, but then after that, he, like, comes to terms with the fact that he's eventually going to die someday. And he's like, man, that's crazy. And he's like setting up his own funeral almost inside of his own home. He's got like a casket already, or a coffin. And meanwhile, Black Suit Spider-Man shows up to a funeral for Joe Face, which is like a criminal, you know, running around New York at the time. But he's dead now. But that breaks into a fight, and he goes home after leaving some money for Joe Face because he still wanted him to have a good service, I guess. And when he goes home, he like thinks about his own mortality.
And Ned's dead.
Ned is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Fat Ned? Is this the same character?
I don't know what he looks like in these books, but
yeah, you do.
It's the same guy. Oh, okay. Yeah, he does show up. Yeah.
Okay, because I think
supposed to be the same character.
Yeah. I think Chubby Ned originated in Ultimate Spider-Man, and that's the one that carried over after Secret Wars.
Okay.
And so that's why I was like, is this the same Ned?
Wait, Ultimate Spider-Man didn't start till like the 90s, I thought.
Yeah. So this is original Ned.
Okay.
I think. I don't know his last name in the Ultimate one. They could be different characters. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
But I'm pretty sure they brought Ned from Ultimate Universe after the Hickman Secret Wars happened.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I see where you're confused with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
this shit sucks, man. There's too much comics. We gotta stop for a little bit, you know? Let me catch up.
Yeah, I know. We got so many.
Everybody, hold on.
I thought we'd be close by now.
We're 250 fucking episodes in, and you can't remember. There's just two Secret Wars. So anyway, Black Suit Spider-Man's pretty cool. I like the action in this and just kind of seeing him, like, it's interesting because he can be kind of silly, too, because this first panel we see him in, he's kind of, like, rappelling down. And he's, like, upside down. He's still, like, a little goofy.
Yeah.
And then when he's fighting him, he looks, like, really cool. Or when he's, like, swinging away, like, that's a cool pose.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of interesting.
When we first saw Kraven and he's fighting his stuffed animals, I was like, is he like crazy in this? Like, or I know he's crazy, but it's like, is he like not actually a hunter? Is he just a rich guy? And he attacks like fake dead animals, you know, and thinks that he's like a hunter.
That'd
and
be
then
funny.
Just goes after Spider-Man for some reason.
No, I think these are taxidermied kills or wins against animals, maybe.
Right.
Or at least that's what I think in my head. My question is why does he have a black suit Spider-Man suit already? Like, where did he get that?
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird.
He just like has that.
I thought he already. Took it for a second.
Yeah, because at a certain point. And then I'm like, then why are there two suits? But he has it in the beginning. I guess he just made it. So, but Kraven starts preparing for his final battle, and he sits naked in a room with a bunch of spiders, and he kind of lets them all the spiders crawl all over him as like a way of preparing for this battle. And he starts eating a bunch of them, which is insane. And then Peter wakes up from a nightmare of a similar situation of spiders crawling all over him. And he goes on a little swing to clear his head. And he feels like he's being followed. And he's suddenly attacked by Kraven, who's shooting like a bunch of drugged darts at him. And yeah, this is like one of the pages where I'm like, this feels like some Vertigo shit.
Yeah.
Like the pacing of it's really cool because we have these like really small panels to start off with, and it builds up this like just insane situation where Kraven is naked again, loves to be naked when he's doing this. Yeah,
what's happening?
Yeah, and he starts eating fucking spiders. So like this dude is fucking raw. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
And
Peter Parker wears whitey tighties.
Yeah, he does wear whitey tighties canonically. I don't know why he's married to Mary Jane here.
Yeah.
But he's sleeping alone in this bed, which seems like it's different from where he lives with Mary Jane.
Didn't she have like boxes, like they're just moving in or something?
Maybe that's what it was.
I can't remember.
But they're sleeping separately in this situation for some reason.
A little weird.
Maybe something's going on with their marriage.
Did you notice that like around like this point, there's like two captions for each person?
Yeah. It seems like, I think a big theme of this book is like getting over your fears, kind of.
Okay.
And I think each character, Kraven and Spider-Man, have like a brighter caption.
Even like Mary Jane had two.
Yeah, she did have two, huh? I think the brighter captions are like their regular psyche, and then like the darker ones of their respective colors are like their fears talking almost.
Yeah, or like your intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, intrusive thoughts, it seems like. So, but it is a really interesting thing because like both Spider-Man and Kraven have them. And I was wondering, like what was going on there, but it's an interesting choice.
Like I was like confused, but I just like read it and I'm like, okay, like I, like this makes sense. Like it's not anyone else, you know,
it's in their own head still.
Maybe like the thoughts that you're trying to like block out almost.
Yeah. To try and like stay focused, you know, cause it happened. We see it when he's being hunted by Kraven. He's like, there's darts, you know, coming, and he's trying to like stay focused maybe. But when you're scared and there's like a lot happening, there's a lot kind of going through your mind. So that's kind of how I perceived it.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Spider-Man's hit by one of the darts and he tries fighting Kraven, but he's getting like a little slower because of the drugs, and he gets caught in a net and Kraven holds a gun to him, and Spider-Man's like desperately trying to say like, this isn't how you do things, Kraven. We're like kind of hand-to-hand guys. But Kraven shoots him point blank, and then to end the issue, he buries Spider-Man in the coffin that I presume was the one that we saw in the beginning, and buries him.
No wound.
Yeah, we don't see any wound in the spider suit, which is interesting. But you know, maybe he patched it up real quick.
I think Craven's like so crazy that like he's like mourning Spider-Man,
and then
he's
the next
like
panel,
sad, and then he's like, ah,
yeah, I did it. He's like, this is a sad moment, but I did it.
The thing about Craven, the way he's drawn in the '80s, it's like way too sexy.
He's so sexy.
I'm like, he's like, or he's way too slutty. Actually,
he's got the
slutty's a better word.
He's got the biggest teeth,
big teeth, like very mask teeth.
Yeah,
you know,
very the mask teeth, and he's like very happy with himself a lot of the time. Like when he's crazy and like smiling, it's you know, you really get that sort of insanity feeling. But I really like the pacing, just like up and to the point where he was about to shoot Spider-Man, because it's like a lot of Peter trying to like talk him out of it, and you see like these big ass teeth, and you're like, man, that guy's gonna shoot somebody. And you see the perspective of him like looking down the barrel and stuff like that. It's just all really well and interestingly done.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I liked it a lot.
I read like the first couple pages of the like OG Creature Commandos book that was also written by James DeMatteis, and so I like could only read a couple pages of that, just because like it was just dense and a little exposition heavy. And so when I came to this and I saw that he wrote it, I was like, ooh,
yeah, he was cooking in this one. I think I've read a fair amount of James DeMatteis stuff, but like none of it's anything I can really recall.
Yeah, I think he's still around. I don't know if he's still on anything.
I think he's still doing. I don't know if he's doing anything currently, but he's still like done a bunch of comics, I know. But yeah, I think this is definitely easily my favorite that I've read from him so far.
Yeah, it's probably his most popular thing.
Yeah, definitely. Issue 2.
This is Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man 293, obviously. Kraven is standing over Spider-Man's gravestone, and he's standing in the black Spider-Man suit, and he's very content with himself. And then we're introduced to Vermin, who's a Spider-Man villain that is eating people in the sewers. And also Mary Jane is worrying about her husband, Peter, and she beats the fuck out of a rat in their apartment.
Yeah.
Which I think was funny.
To me, this is like peak Mary Jane.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I'm just like, when I see it, you know right away who it is.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's just because like they have like she has got the red hair, and then it's like a lot of black used because it's like a dark red, I guess.
Yeah.
And
she's all wearing like dark lipstick.
I just think she's the baddest here.
She is the baddest. When I was reading this, and I'm like, okay, she's in the apartment wearing like a button up shirt, but no pants. And I'm like, I can't believe they've sexualized Mary Jane. And then I remember that Craven's been naked for half of this book already. Yeah. So I'm like, I guess it goes both ways, you know? So
yeah,
then, you know, thumbs up from us.
They objectify men too.
Yeah, they do. Like, yes, both Craven and Peter Parker have been way more naked than this.
A lot of sluts in this. This is a slutty book. Peak. So, and you'll see the boxes that are in here.
Oh, yeah. So they are moving.
So, which I'm so shocked that I remembered for some reason, just because you said that.
That is such a critical detail. And I'm also surprised that you remembered that.
I don't even like think I looked at these panels. I'm like, that's a box, you know,
but it was in your memory for sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, yeah.
So Kraven's being weird. He's just crawling around in his Spider-Man suit like he's 4.
Yeah, he is. He's running around New York as Spider-Man. He enters a room where he drinks from a bowl that like makes him hallucinate a bunch of spiders that all form. They like all collect into just this massive spider that Kraven has to like try and fight off. And he's doing this because he's trying to like keep his fear in check, I guess.
Yeah, he's just like drinking LSD or something.
Yeah, like with like a dog too. He's not like taking the bowl and like drinking it. Like Spider-Man could do that. You know what I mean? But
going back to that Mary Jane thing,
yeah,
she like asked the rat, he's like, you want to fight? And like verbatim. Yeah.
Oh, you're a bowling, huh? You want to fight?
Like, want to fight? I just like I just thought that
if I saw
funny.
A rat
like verbatim, like, you want to fight?
If I saw a rat and I was like, you want to tussle right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking rats in this book. I think Vermin can like control them or something. It's not very
he's
clear.
Like a rat guy.
He's like a man rat, but they call him Vermin, which is a cooler name. But I think he can
better than like rat guy or
yeah,
like
rat guy. Hey, it's you, rat guy.
Yeah, not very many rat based characters other than like Ratcatcher or something. But
it's pretty funny that she fucks up this rat and like kills it in her apartment and then she just runs away. Yeah. It's like, take care of that, dude. It's
yeah,
gonna,
like, ew.
It's gonna get flies or something. So then Vermin is in the sewers. He's eaten someone and he finds a newspaper with like Spider-Man on the headline. And he recalls his last interaction with Spider-Man and Captain America, where I guess they like beat the fuck out of him, but he managed to get away. And, you know, Kraven's running around in the Spider-Man suit, but I feel like he's way better at crawling around than Peter Parker is because he does it more. You know, he's like crawling around like on the ground. And I'm like, I haven't seen.
That means he's better.
Yeah. I think so, dude.
He doesn't need to crawl on the ground.
Like, I'm a spider. And he's like doing this thing. And I'm like,
spiders crawling on the ground, I mean, too.
He looks pretty cool. Look at him going to this window. And I'm like, or he's like crawling down the steps. And I'm like, that's a spider, you know? Spider-Man's like not very spider-like, if you really think about it.
He just crawls on the walls.
He crawls on the wall. He does like a web. That's about it. There's like a lot else. There's like a part of him that have nothing to do with spiders. Like you can tell the future.
Kraven's just trying to be as spider as possible.
Yeah, I know. I don't think he knows all this
he's
other
like,
stuff.
He's like, to beat Spider-Man, I have to be Spider-Man.
I don't think he knows much reason. About Spider-Man. And so he's like, I think he just assumes that he crawls around on the ground all the time, which I think is kind of funny.
He's like, I clearly can't stick to the walls, but. Yeah. You remember like in the first movie, the fucking.
Which one?
Sam Raimi ones.
Okay.
The first one where like they zoom in on like his fingertips and there's like the little like hairs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that's how he stuck the walls.
It's cool.
That's gross.
It's cool.
Is that canon or is that just Raimi?
I think that's Raimi being like, there has to be a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
And they have to be organic webs.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that.
I don't know why I just thought of that, but.
You'd think that if he has those, it'd be miserable for anybody to like shake his hand, you know?
Yeah.
Because they would just like dig into. Like the pins or whatever would just dig into the people's hands.
Right.
So, but then it like, are his toes like that too? They must be, right? Do they go through the suit? Because he puts on a suit and then he crawls. So they don't really explain that much. But
maybe it's like fingerless gloves would be like the most practical version of that.
That would be so cool. Fingerless and toeless, like extremities. Like, he's got his dogs out.
Dude, why you got your dogs out?
Just Spider-Man, imagine his regular Spider-Man suit, but his toes are out.
Imagine you're like shoplifting and you get like kicked in the face by a barefoot.
Oh, gross.
Ew.
So Mary Jane goes looking for her husband out in the rain at night, which is a terrible idea because she starts to get harassed by some guys that are like catcalling her, and she's saved by Kraven, who's acting as Spider-Man, but Spider-Man's like really violent when saving her. And MJ knows that it's not Peter and just kind of figures that something's wrong. And then Vermin leaves the sewer looking for somebody else to eat. So he's running around New York right now. And that's pretty much that issue. So
can you believe there are three main Spider-Man books going on?
Isn't that insane? They're like, all the same Spider-Man. One of them is called Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, and it's had 130 issues.
Yeah.
And then this one.
And then there's Web of Spider-Man, which is like a little newer.
Yeah, like 30
And then
issues.
Amazing Spider-Man.
293 issues of Amazing Spider-Man.
Like, we need more Spider-Man.
So, like, there's hundreds of Spider-Man comics all coming out, like, the same time.
And then they're like, oh, you just want to read one? Surprise.
You got to read all three now.
Six-part series.
Can you imagine if you were, like, just loyal to Web of Spider-Man and you just get part one and part four of this?
Yeah.
It'd be insane.
I think Web of Spider-Man is a cool name for a book.
It is.
I feel like I've only just
they cooked with that one.
Like heard about it recently, you know, but I love the first page of this next one.
Well, I like that one.
Or it's not even a page, I think.
I like that MJ can immediately tell that it's not like Peter in the black suit.
Just by vibes.
Just by vibes. She's like, that guy was not my husband.
I'm sure there's like a build difference too.
Dude, he is like Kraven's fucking, he's like a wide huge. Motherfucker.
Yeah, dude.
He's pretty, you probably be able to tell off that, but
that dude could have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, because when he's like fighting these guys, he like breaks one of their necks, I think.
Can you imagine you're a quarterback and then Kraven the Hunter's coming at you in the pocket, you know?
I'd be like, I'm done. I'll start crawling around like a spider trying to get away. There's also like a sort of visual kind of metaphor running throughout the book where like at the bottom of random pages, you see like the bottom of Peter or like the Spider-Man like gravestone. And there's like a rat.
Did you call it a metaphor?
Well, like, it seems like what's happening here is sort of mimicking kind of roughly what's going on in the book, while also telling you like something's gonna happen here because we keep seeing it. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's an allegory.
Allegory?
I don't know. I don't know English. But
me neither. But you know what I mean? Like there's a rat here, which is probably like the vermin part or the spider part, which is like, I don't know who that is.
Sometimes there's spiders on it.
Yeah.
You know,
some guy maybe associated with spiders. But yeah. I just think it's interesting. Like they really thought about this book just beyond like the base thing.
Yeah. And even like towards the end and then in the first issue, I think there's like a dude like digging a grave and they'll show a panel of that and his progress like throughout the book.
And I'm like, yeah,
something's about to happen.
And I just kept thinking like that guy's been working.
Yeah.
You know how long it'll take to dig a hole by yourself that'll fit a coffin?
Like 2 days?
It took me like a week probably.
Like I think we knew what was like going to happen like going into this.
But that's just because we know.
But it's almost cool like that it's like.
But if you're just reading this, you're like, who the fuck is this guy?
In the name Craven's Last Hunt, I'm like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And so it's just cool how they work that in.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, beginning of issue 3, this is one of the cooler pages.
Yeah.
Just Craven being a black suit Spider-Man. I like thinking about how he set this up because he's probably seen Spider-Man do this. And so he's like, all right, let me get a fucking rope.
They got the Venom hand square.
They do. I like the Venom hand square.
And now that I know what it is, I like look for it, you know? And then when I notice it, I'm like, oh, sick.
Like, you know that it exists.
Yeah, because I didn't know until we read Agent Venom.
Yeah, it is so interesting that some artist was like, we need like something else here, you know?
we need to break up this.
this black.
I want them to know which limb they're looking at.
Yeah, yeah. But I like thinking about Craven setting up like a rope somewhere and like tying it to the end of something so that he could like.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Because he's holding on to like a regular rope.
Because at first I thought it was like one of those like chapter pages almost.
No.
Where it was like not part of the book necessarily.
No,
but no, yeah.
Because he crashes through the window.
He just wanted to hang upside down.
Yeah, he's like, Spider-Man would do this. Because he's mimicking Spider-Man. But anyway.
It's fucking hilarious.
Because he had to like either tie that to something or maybe he has like one of those grappling hooks. And he's like, all right, let me. Because what if he fucked that up?
Yeah, you just.
He's a big man. He could
just fall on your noggin.
Snap that rope. But anyway, Craven as Spider-Man beats the fuck out of some gang dudes in a drug deal. And then he runs away when the police show up. And then Craven has now proved himself superior to Spider-Man in every way. He does kill a guy. But this is some of the coolest like Spider-Man action poses. Like when he's crashing through the window and it's like he's kind of like very like low, I guess.
Yeah, he really squishes himself.
He squishes himself down. But like just seeing him kind of beat the fuck out of these guys and the sort of space that they give Mike Zeck to do with these action pages are really fun to watch.
And you want to, did you see the spider cakes?
Whoa, we do have some spider cake. Yeah, that's when he's getting away.
Yeah.
So Vermin is causing some more trouble out in New York. He's killing people and he wants to find Spider-Man to show Spider-Man that he's not afraid of him no more. And Vermin runs into like a police squad car and he controls some rats to take one of them into the sewer. And then another one he thinks looks like his mom. So he like leaves her alive, but licks her face. He like does a lot of weird shit with him.
It does look like her mom.
I think he said that she reminds him of his mom. Cause there's like, he looks just like my mother. Just kind of like across different pages. But I really like the voice of Vermin in this too. Like he's got like a weird
way of talking. Feel like he's like used to English because he's almost got like the physical attributes of like a rat or whatever,
and he's like not used to I guess like speaking English or whatever, so it's like a really broken English throughout the whole time.
Yeah, because
so
he's like really, alone
he feels like very rabid, and I think just with those captions they like really captured that.
He feels like such a like 80s villain, you know.
Yeah,
he but is. If it's a rat guy,
a rat man,
yeah,
make him vaguely look like a wolf man.
And
you know,
I think he's properly rated, you know, like he's in this and he has like a purpose, you know, and then we don't really see him in any modern comics.
Mm-hmm. But it feels like James DeMatteis was also taking a point in continuity because apparently the last time Vermin and Spider-Man met, it was like Spider-Man and Captain America, apparently, like that's something that he brings up.
Yeah.
So that's also an interesting part of it. Like he found a character that works for this story that I assume is in continuity in some way. So I think that's cool.
And he like his like memories aren't that great either. Like he calls him like, he refers to him as like Captain Flag.
Yeah.
Which I think is a thing.
Isn't that like the DC person?
Captain Flag. I don't know.
I'm thinking of Rick Flag.
But a thing that they do in this book since like back in the 80s, like color was like a little limited, is that they were able to show that the headlights of the police car were like bright, you know, instead of doing like a color for that. They do like the little circles.
Oh, the circles.
Almost as if you had like astigmatism or something.
Or like a lens flare or something.
Yeah, lens like flare a lens kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that.
I was like, that's cool and smart.
Yeah. I like that vibe. Like that would make for a good like noir book.
Yeah, it definitely feels retro just based off of this panel.
Yeah. So Mary Jane gets so worried about Peter that she almost exposes his secret identity to his editor at the time at the Bugle. She like goes to his house and is like, I gotta tell you something. And she's like, nah, I won't actually. I'm going to leave. Which is like a really weird interaction, I feel like. And then Craven keeps a rat hostage at his place trying to lure Vermin in so that he can finally be the best version of Spider-Man by taking down one of his villains.
Is that how he lures him? He just like, hear the rat or something?
I think he has heard about Vermin from the newspapers or something and is like, let me trap a rat. But Vermin,
well, then he throws the rat out the window.
He does. I think he follows the rat, maybe. Is that what it is? Because we see the rat going to like the sewer.
Huh. Okay.
And so anyway, Craven tracks down Vermin. They beat the fuck out of each other for a while, but Craven is victorious at knocking Vermin out. And then the issue ends when we see Spider-Man's hand come out from the grave.
Yeah.
And then the cover for the next one's the iconic Craven's Last Hunt. You know, cover.
A cool thing that you can do when you have the black suit Spider-Man is like he can be in the shadows and then his eyes are popping out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love it.
You know, I think maybe my favorite panel of this is this like pre-fight pose that Kraven does before they start fighting.
Yeah.
Like, look at that shit, dude.
Looks like he's about to do some dips.
That guy's ready to fuck somebody up. Like, who goes into a fight and is like, let me get my fucking arms out.
If you're like, in a bar fight and the first thing you do is that, I'm like, get out of here. Like,
no fucking way, dude.
No, I'm sorry, dude.
I'm sorry. Here, take my money. I don't know. Like, that is such...
He's about to thrust at me.
It's such a low squat.
Yeah.
And such high arms. It's like, who thinks of that? Like, a lot of... I think what makes this book successful is definitely the Mike Zeck art. Because it's just so fun to look at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also like that he can just find like a corner with like not a lot of light and he could just like hide in there because he's presumably like sticking to the walls.
He does a lot of Batman, you know, hiding in the shadow kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's really cool. And this fight also is like really, it's so easy to follow and it's like very like dynamic, I feel like. Because there's a scene where we see him like grab onto a pipe and then he like kicks Vermin after that. But then when Vermin bites him, he like accidentally rips part of the pipes off. And so like there's just a very like flowy scene that we see happen. And it's like very easy to follow.
Yeah, no, it's super solid.
So it's very, very well thought out. But yeah, issue 4.
I thought he killed Vermin. I'm like, what was the point of that?
No.
I guess they just knocked him out and he like,
but I like that it was a, or something. But I like that it was a tough fight because this is somebody that Spider-Man and Captain America weren't able to like pin down, I guess, last time that they fought each other.
Yeah.
So the fact that Kraven by himself is able to do it is very telling.
Mm-hmm.
So issue 4. Peter is in like a white void and he's like kind of sitting in silence, which is interrupted.
He's naked in the void.
Naked in the void.
You don't take your clothes to
the void, to heaven, to limbo.
Limbo or purgatory.
Yeah, purgatory. You're just completely naked in whatever state you're in, I guess. So the silence is interrupted by
Ned's got clothes.
His recently killed friend, Ned. Yeah, that would be kind of funny if he was naked too, though. He's like, Ned?
He's my God. Pete.
And he's like... He's like looking at his meat. But Peter, you know, Peter's like, Ned, I thought you were dead. And then Ned's like, oh, yeah. And he decomposes like right in front of Peter, which is really freaky. And then Peter himself.
He's just like a pile of shit.
Yeah. Peter himself then turns into a spider and he's like crawling down a tunnel and he's being hunted by like dark creatures that ends up killing the spider. But then Peter Parker kind of breaks out from the corpse of the spider that he just was.
It's icky.
And he's kind of like embracing himself as Peter Parker and not the spider, I think, in this sort of sequence. And after he remembers and relives getting shot by Kraven. Spider-Man bursts out from the grave.
I was thinking about this. I'm like, I think there's, because you're in a coffin and then there's dirt on top of you.
It's impossible to get out.
It is impossible.
Yeah. I think there's like a Mythbusters.
Yeah, I think there's like a trick to it. I'm like, what's the trick?
You can do it.
Yeah, I think
you're... The only way, I think, is if you're like pushing dirt down to the bottom so that you can like maybe find some way to like get out.
You got to pack as much into the coffin as possible.
Maybe if it's like wet enough, but also at the same time, if it's wet, it'll be harder to get out.
Because I feel like it's always raining at this grave.
In this fucking comic, it's always raining. It's never not raining, I'm pretty sure. Very rainy time.
Good vibes, yeah.
But so, this is like my favorite.
That'd make sequence. It like heavier though, too.
It would make it heavier.
But I guess like it would
softer to like move the dirt around.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I'm sure Mythbusters have done it. I think that's where I knew it's like pretty much impossible.
Because like because how did Buried end? The movie Buried. Did you watch that?
The movie Buried.
Yeah, Buried.
Oh, Buried. Oh, he dies.
He does.
Yeah.
Because he tries to get out.
No, there's like a snake that finds his way in, I think, and that creates a hole and he starts getting buried or like buried alive. And then he's on the phone with somebody, he's like, we found it, we're getting you out. And then it was just like the wrong place, and then he just dies.
Good ending.
And so like he's on the phone with like the detective or whatever, and when he realizes it's not the right one, he just has to like be on the phone with this detective as he dies.
Damn.
Fucking wild.
You watched that movie?
I did.
Why?
I don't know. It was in high school, so it was a long time ago. But I remember that sequence. I was like, fuck, dude. He was right there.
No.
it was like
an hour and a half of just looking at this guy.
Just in the thing. I actually thought it was like pretty solid over the time. It's probably not as good if I were to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
But interesting premise. But anyway, this sequence is like, I think, really impressive. Just especially seeing Ned like slowly decompose was pretty cool. But then just like the crazy trippy stuff that's happening, and Peter's crawling his fucking way out of like a spider.
And I guess he was in there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And so, and then like just this reliving over and over, getting shot by Kraven. Like, it's all very unexpectedly dark stuff for a Spider-Man comic.
Yeah.
So I really like it. And just like this, you know, I think him coming out of the spider is like him reevaluating. Like, he's like, He's being born. I'm not the spider. You know, I'm Peter Parker, you know, kind of deal. So,
yeah,
I think that part's cool. Also, this absolutely electric splash page of him coming out of the grave. Like, I think
a
huge understated part of what makes this comic so iconic is just how visually cool it is, like, most of the time.
Yeah.
Because if this was, like, a lesser artist doing this with just, like, the same Jim DeMatteis writing, like, I wouldn't like it as much, you know?
Yeah, so I was thinking about that a lot. He's just the right amount of muddy, you know?
Yeah, he is. And so Spider-Man stumbles into Kraven's mansion and he finds a newspaper of the new Spider-Man on the headlines. And it's dated 2 weeks from the day that he was shot. So he knows he's been in the coffin for 2 weeks. He gets pissed and he starts tearing up Kraven's like trophies that he was fighting in the beginning. And then he goes to MJ. They fuck for a bit. And then Peter's like, I gotta go find Kraven. This was great.
That was a weird scene because like, you're gone for 2 weeks. He doesn't explain where he was, and then they get busy.
You know, I'm sure they were getting caught up in the act. You know, he's like, I was crazy. I was shot by Kraven. You know, I've been in a coffin.
I was dead. I think I'm a zombie.
That's probably why I stink. Don't worry about it.
Ew, yeah. It smells so bad. He's just like brewing in his own stink.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah, in his spider suit.
And so he does find him in some random building, but Kraven has like been waiting for him this whole time. So... really cool.
Yeah, it's like, how did he like know he was coming, I guess?
Kraven?
Yeah.
I guess he knew that he drugged him and he probably like measured the amount of drugs and how long it'd probably keep him in there. But I really like these panels that are kind of sprinkled in of Kraven gradually taking off like the Spider-Man mask.
And but just it's saying, just like, silhouette. So it's just like eyes.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That he's taking off, yeah.
And so that's pretty much that issue. And so issue 5... we see Vermin is Kraven's prisoner in this like electric cage thing. Kraven's like thinking about his mother, who he was told that she killed herself, but Kraven is convinced that it's the spider that killed her, which I think is like that spider metaphor thing that he was fighting in the beginning. Like, I think it's just the embodiment of fear or something. And so, you know, that's how he thinks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man is there, though, and he starts beating the fuck out of Kraven, who refuses to fight back because he's saying that he already won. And then he asks Spider-Man to follow him, assuring that he could have just killed Spider-Man already if he really wanted to. And so Spider-Man just follows him wherever he's going.
There's a panel where Kraven's like changing in his Kraven getup.
Yeah.
And then like Spider-Man's like on the ground, almost like he's trying to get like a peek of his ass.
He's like, let me get that.
Yeah, let me look on there.
Like, I wonder what Peter was thinking in this scene where Kraven just starts stripping naked, like while he's kind of explaining himself.
You're like, whoa.
This is not that kind of fight. I'm sorry. He's like, I don't know if that's what you got.
I already have like post nut clarity right now.
I just nutted.
Not so, ready for round two.
Yeah. But like, he's putting on his like Kraven getup, which I'm realizing is his dick's flopping out a lot, right? Because it's just that weird triangle, like Tarzan tarp thing over his dick. But yeah, I just like visualizing the scene from Spider-Man's perspective where he's like, why are you getting naked right now, dude?
Like, put your dick away.
Yeah, dude, come on. I'm really angry at you right now, and it's really weird that you're doing this. But anyway, Kraven takes Spider-Man to where Vermin is, where he's like locked in the cage. Kraven brags about being able to take Vermin down, which is something that both Spider-Man and Captain America were unable to do. And so also Vermin is like terrified of Spider-Man, thinking that Peter's the same guy that beat the fuck out of him. But that was really Kraven, which I think is kind of cool. It's cool seeing like Vermin react to Peter Spider-Man, thinking that it's the same guy. He's like, and then Spider-Man's trying to like calm him down, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But Kraven releases Vermin, and Vermin like attacks Spider-Man. Spider-Man refuses to fight him back and tries helping him and like telling him that Kraven's been like manipulating him. But Vermin gets like a good hit on Spider-Man, which makes Spider-Man go a little crazy and fight back. And then Vermin gets Spider-Man pinned, but Kraven stops the final blow and just tells Vermin to leave. And so he does. And then again, we get like these random panels sprinkled in where it's like a rat interacting with the spider. I just think that's kind of interesting. Because like, it's funny because when the rat squishes the spider, that's when Vermin gets like a good hit on Spider-Man. And so I'm like, this is kind of funny. So Kraven then helps Spider-Man up, telling Spider-Man that he's free to go, knowing that he would go after Vermin, who's now kind of out on the, you know, in New York.
Because he's like a cannibal still.
He's a cannibal and he's still going to like murder people. So he's like, you go get him and I'll stay here.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's like, I'm going to come back. So like, go move, you know? And so when Spider-Man leaves, Kraven goes to like look at his old family photo and he thinks about how he can like have a happy ending. And he puts that rifle that he used in the beginning and shoots himself. And then he falls into his coffin and bleeds all over the family photo.
There's a lot of...
Which is pretty
fucking
wrong.
Because it's raining, there's a lot of lightning and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a coom, you know, a krakoom.
Yeah.
And that's like...
The gunshot?
Yeah, that's like hidden under that, basically.
Yeah, really creative way to like tell that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because like seeing the silhouette... This is an awkward gun to like put in your mouth and kill yourself with, I feel like.
Yeah, because then you got to like reach.
And he's like, I guess this is all I have, you know. So yeah, you got to reach pretty far, but pretty raw, dude. Like he did everything that he wanted to do because he proved himself like as a pretty good Spider-Man.
He had a bucket list.
Yeah.
And he wanted to check that one off.
And he did the last thing.
Before it goes. Didn't want to see himself deteriorate, I bet.
I just wonder when we see Kraven next. Because he's, like, pretty clearly dead.
Yeah.
And so who was the guy that was like, let me bring him back? And, like, how did they do that? You know?
Yeah.
Because he's definitely... He was in that Agent Venom book. So I presume at some point between Agent Venom and this book, he came back somehow.
He probably dies again.
He probably does die. He's probably died multiple times since then. Yeah. So issue 6, last part. This is Spectacular Spider-Man 132.
I don't even know if we need this one necessarily.
Yeah, I think this would have been an awesome ending.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
To be fair. But yeah, while scouting for Vermin, Spider-Man heads through like a tunnel and he's like feeling really claustrophobic and remembering like the time that he was in the coffin like a couple minutes ago.
He's just crawling through shit if you think about it.
He really is because he's in like a sewer like this pipe one? Thing. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
That's a good panel though. He looks so buff in this.
Yeah, and this is where like there's like all the blue and stuff that I liked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool when they use it to like contour like the way that he looks.
Mm. It's like where's this light coming from?
Yeah. Spider-Man gets like swarmed by a bunch of rats And then meanwhile, an anonymous tip causes the police to show up to Craven's house. And they see Craven's body, which has a note next to it confessing to everything that Spider-Man did in the last few weeks, being Craven. So I guess that's good. He's like, whatever you thought before, that was me. So my bad, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's maybe why they included it in this, because it's like Craven wasn't necessarily trying to ruin his reputation. He just wanted to prove that he could do it better.
It's basically clearing up everything that happened in this.
Yeah.
The only difference is that Craven's dead.
Yeah.
You know, and like in this next issue, it could just be whatever Spider-Man story.
Yeah, true.
It's not like an aftermath kind of thing.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need this part of it to be part of the entire thing, but it is interesting they put it in. So Spider-Man and Vermin do meet. Vermin starts drowning Spider-Man, which reminds him of the coffin, and then Spider-Man breaks through. He starts drowning him until he like tries to explain the situation to Vermin. And Vermin doesn't believe him. And so Spider-Man like kind of runs away. He goes back up into New York City. And Vermin follows with him, pretty much.
Because he gets like a burst of like courage.
Yeah. You know, he's like, let me go get this guy.
Yeah,
like,
I gotta stop him.
He's like, I was winning this fight, so let me go follow him. Right. So I think it's really funny, this sequence where they like trade drowning each other. like what happened in the water where he like gets a reversal on him and then picks him up and then drowns him again. Like,
it's a pretty common move in water fights, I think.
I guess so, yeah.
I know this is all really good art, but I'm not the biggest fan of like the webs.
Dude, the webs did throw me off.
I was like, wow, that's kind of lazy.
This is just a grid. And then like it was so weird that I was like, how the fuck do they normally look?
Yeah, I'm like,
like I couldn't remember like what good webs look like for this kind of web.
I just immediately go to like Todd McFarlane webs. You know, which is like unfair comparison.
Those are insanely detailed, yeah.
Right.
And I'm looking at like this where he's kind of pinned him down and it looks like he's just put like Velcro straps or something on him.
Like a little net on him, yeah. Kind of thing.
And so I do agree. That's the one thing that he choked, I think.
It fits with like the rest of the art. Like it's not insanely detailed, you know, but it would be super tedious to do more.
Yeah.
And webs just aren't like a big part of this story.
Yeah,
but that this is like the one time where I was like, oh wow.
I do like this use of almost like negative space, or like the dark negative space where he's like in the corner in the shadows.
Yeah,
but like I can tell he's doing like this, you know what I mean?
Yeah
like you only see like the eyes logo and like the right hand, but I could tell what pose he's doing on that wall.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. So Spider-Man rescues Vermin from almost being run over by some New York traffic. And then he swings right to where there are like some cops that are just ready to take him in, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, well, that's convenient.
Yeah, he's like, oh, here's some cops there. Like, you take him.
Yeah, like he like just got out of there and there just happens to be cops exactly where they were.
Yeah, I don't know. Like he didn't plan this, so maybe he was just swinging around until he found some cops. But and so Spider-Man tells Vermin, like, I know Mr. Fantastic, he's gonna help you out. Promise. And so then he leaves. Nice. Yeah, I guess so. And then with everything over, Spider-Man goes back to MJ and
hella stinky.
He's very stinky. He's been running around in shit and like
crawling around in it.
Drowned in sewer water. He was covered by rats at one point. But MJ's happy to see him. And then Craven's men, I guess, bury him in the cemetery where Spider-Man was.
Or right next to him.
Right next to him. I mean, I can't read what this tombstone says because what the fuck is that?
I wonder if that's easier to read like
surely
on like the newsprint.
Surely it looks better in that. Because it's a little rough here, but yeah, he gets buried and that's how it ends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pretty fucking cool. So
yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
When things are like pre-2000, it's like basically 50-50 whether or not you're going to like it or not. You know?
Yeah. It is. It typically is. Cause it's like some of it, even if it is like Watchmen level, I'm like, this is fucking taking a while to read, you know?
Yeah, because when it's like old like that, it was really good at like the time, and then people still, you know, like it because they remember what it was like when it came out.
And so we get more comics that are like that because it's cool, but then it's like it becomes an idea that I'm familiar with.
And this one like holds up.
Yeah,
you know,
it totally does.
Even for like newer readers
like
us and on the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, because when you like, it's interesting because when people are like kind of getting into comics and they're like, what's the best Batman story, the best Spider-Man story? Some of them are like, or like a Daredevil story. Some of them are like those older comics, which I think would still kind of be hard to get into today. But I feel like this is one of those ones where it's like, this would be kind of cool to read if you were like a new guy.
Yeah.
And you happen to stumble across like Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah. It's cool to look at the classics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We get some crazy pencils for a lot of the covers. Very detailed.
Did they use all these covers?
I don't think they used this first one.
Yeah, like that's pretty cool.
No, actually, I think they did.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, all of these are the actual covers.
For sure.
And so for each of the six issues, we get them and then we get...
Dude, inking must have been like so easy like when it's Mike Zeck on pencils.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's basically there. You just got to make it darker.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. I really like seeing the pencils for like that really iconic one because it's actually surprisingly clear.
Like, even what's happening. Like the rain and shit.
Because it's like dark clouds above him, rain raining down on him, a bunch of mud under him. But it's all like there's all very distinct like pieces of
this. And
there's
like texture to the dirt.
Yeah.
You know?
And so that just is kind of a testament to how good Mike Zeck is.
Mm-hmm.
And then some pages, some of the more important ones we see the pencils for. One of my favorite ones is seeing the spider page where he's eating a bunch of spiders, but also this one where there's like a shirtless Kraven where he's like particularly wide in it for some reason. Let me find it again. Oh, this one. Such a small panel, but in that corner of this one here where he's just shirtless and he's kind of doing like a power stance.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of pages here, which is cool. And then we see the original trade paperback cover for Kraven's Last Hunt.
Pretty cool.
Yep. Super cool. What did you rate this book, Daniel?
And I rated the Spider-Man web shooter that we had as kids. Ooh. You know, where you load in that like spray paint bottle on your wrist.
What was that? It was like the...
It was like a glove too. And then it's got like a little like lever thing that would go on your hand. And
what would they call that? That was like crazy spray or something? Crazy foam?
Silly string?
Silly string, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good toy.
Yeah, fucking messy, but...
Very fucking messy.
And then when you get to the end, it just like be like... You know, and it just spread. Yeah, it just spat.
Yeah, that then it would be
like, I need more webs. You really felt the struggle of like Spider-Man.
Yeah, his web like, shooters. Oh, fuck him out already. Like, I need to fight the Sinister Six.
Like, this is how he felt in Spider-Man 2, where it's like, you know,
I always like when I watched that movie, I just remember the Spider-Man video games where you could run out of webs, and it was really fucking annoying.
You ran out of webs in the game?
Yeah, there's one of the games where,
how'd you get more?
It's like it regenerates, but you have to like be on a rooftop and just wait there for a little bit for the blue bar to like fill up again, and then you could just like start swinging.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It was terrible, and then they especially fixed it in the Spider-Man 2 video. I think the first one is where
I remember the first one, you like could you fall off buildings, like you could only be on buildings, so you couldn't go to the ground.
It was that one, I think, but then the second one they made it like a lot better, and you could just be on the ground.
Yeah, and that's where they had like the pizza like missions.
Yeah, and that pizza song.
I don't remember the pizza song.
Dude, you might have heard it because I think it's the sound on TikTok as well.
Like, thinking about like the current Spider-Man games, and if like there was like a web limit, it'd be a nightmare because it's like actual New York or whatever.
Yeah, listen to this.
That's from Spider-Man
2. It's when you're doing the pizza missions.
Oh my god.
Isn't that insane?
How did I not connect those? It's
fucking banger.
It is. That's a bop right there,
dude. I put that on repeat when I'm running.
you run twice as fast.
Then I give this a pizza time that's delivered in under 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Except it takes longer to read.
Dude, but the pizza in that movie looks so good.
So good.
It's like, is that like a genuine New York pizza that they had like in the filming, you know?
Surely it was. Because I think they filmed in New York.
Because I'm like, that looks fire.
So they're like, just get any pizza place and then make it Ned's or whatever it was called.
I have to like control myself and not say pizza time every time I'm eating pizza, you know?
Just let it rip.
Yeah.
You got to let a pizza time rip every then, once
like,
in a while.
I say it, but Sarah doesn't know what I'm talking about, like what I'm referencing. She just thinks I have a catchphrase for when I eat pizza, you know?
There's a friend that I have is a movie nerd. Whenever his like wife is going to the grocery store to like pick some stuff up, and they're like, what do you need? And he's like, Cornetto. Because in one of the, I think in all of the Edgar Wright movies, the Cornetto trilogy, specifically in Shaun of the Dead, it's something that Nick Frost character says when what's his face asked him something. So it's apparently one of his like random jokes that nobody gets.
I thought Cornetto was like a,
it's like an ice cream or something.
Yeah. Is that like an actual like ice cream?
Yeah. But not here, I don't think.
Yeah. So why would he tell his wife Cornetto?
Because it's a reference to that movie.
Does she know what he's talking about?
No. And so when he says Cornetto, she's like, what are you talking about?
He's like, all right,
nothing.
What else?
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing.
Pizza time is relevant.
I remember seeing a Cornetto like rapper in World's End. And I'm like, oh, that's why they call it that trilogy, you know?
Yeah, because it's that
one. Which is a very odd way to connect those movies.
They just are all in there for some reason and not in any other movies.
Is it a British thing? Like if I'm in London, can I have a Cornetto?
I think so.
I'm gonna look that up. How do you spell it?
Because it's Shaun, Cornetto, I think.
Cornetto.
But I think it's, what is it? Shaun of the Dead, This is the End. And what's the other movie? The cop one?
Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz.
That's a good movie. Oh, I've seen these. They have these, but like, I don't think they call them Cornetto. It's like the ice cream cones.
Oh, Cornetto.
Yeah, that are like flat.
Yeah.
Okay. This is pretty good.
There's a 1 hour Spider-Man 2 game pizza theme that he goes to. And a 10 hour version.
Give me the 24 hour version.
The 24 hour version. But yeah, that's what I'd rate this. So
I like it.
Good
like
shit.
It.
Definitely.
Ooh, the chocolate one looks fire.
Let's get into the poll list. Daniel, call in.
They got strawberry. What flavor is it?
Shove it in your box.
Shove in your box.
The poll is, what did you shove in your box?
What'd you pick up this week?
Let's take a look at the list. We got Batman and Robin, year one, number two.
I'm going to pick that up.
Yep, whenever your shop figures it out.
Fucked me up again. They had some Marvel stuff, but they didn't have their DC and Image stuff. So I'm going to be picking up like 3 weeks worth of the comics Friday.
Maybe Diamond wasn't so bad.
You know, bring it all back.
Then we got The Moon is Following Us, number three.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a book called The Rockefellers, number one. And that's like the...
I know about The Rockefellers.
What's that dude? He did Trinity. And then he did like Flash.
Francis Manapul?
Francis Manapul book, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And it's a part of the Ghost Machine line. I don't know if it's connected to those stories, but I saw the cover. I'm like, it looks like a good-ass book.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I don't think I have, but it sounds good because the Rockefellers are an interesting story, so I wonder what approach he's taking with it.
What do you mean?
Do you know who the Rockefellers are?
Maybe.
They're like real people in history, so I wonder what approach he's taking.
They like the promo art. I was like, that's fucking cool, but it's none of the covers. They had like a Little Miss Sunshine like esque variant or like cover.
Oh, cool.
You see that?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's sweet. Like some sort of like family thing.
Okay. So maybe it's not like a...
But that's none of the variants for some reason. This is like the promo art that they had like at Comic-Con or whatever, like when they announced all the Ghost Machine stuff.
Right.
But anyway, I'll see what that's about. But it is under like the Ghost Machine.
Yeah, you have to tell me that's good because we haven't really seen Francis Manapul in a while. Since like that Scott Snyder one, right?
What do you mean?
We haven't seen him do like, is he doing the art on that too? Jeez, or is he just writing? Because he's like...
Peter J. Tomasi is writing.
Okay, so he's doing the art on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we haven't seen him do something since that like Scott Snyder book with the Comixology original.
Which one?
It was the one with like the big bug eyes. It's called like Void or something.
It's like The Void or something? Or?
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, we haven't really seen much from Francis Manapul, but he's good.
He was called something else. It was like...
It definitely was. It's like Clear.
Clear. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. He has good art.
When people don't come up with shit for a couple years, I'm like, how are you surviving?
You know? What are you doing? He's probably doing stuff, but just not traditional comic stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. What else are you picking up?
That's it, I think.
I picked up what I could today, which was Terminator number 2 by Declan Shalvey. Really excited about that one. Ultimate X-Men number 9 and Uncanny X-Men number 5. That was all I could pick up this week.
Better than nothing, I guess?
Yeah, true. I was able to pick up something. But yeah, I'll be able to pick up my normal DC stuff. Hopefully Absolute Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute Batman number 2.
Dude, I think you haven't had that for a minute.
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks.
Damn. Okay.
But apparently it's all coming and it'll all be there. We'll see.
Yeah. Did you read anything?
Yeah, I finished Zatanna, Bring Down the House.
Oh, it's done.
With number 5, yeah.
Okay.
It's awesome. I really enjoyed that book all the way through.
Sweet.
Which is cool, because I figured this one wasn't going to be like as funky and crazy as the rest of them, because they have to like wrap up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think they did it really well. And it's definitely like a grand finale, like artwork wise as well, because they do a lot of really crazy different styles because of the situation that they're put in.
Nice.
So I really, really enjoyed that book a lot.
Sweet.
Which is cool. I also read Power Fantasy number 3.
Nice.
Which I gave you to read because you're waiting for me to buy it, I guess.
Yeah.
I think number 4 is out already.
Maybe.
Or maybe it came out today, but
I think maybe.
I was like going into this one and I was like, I don't know if I'll continue with this, but let me give number 3 a read. And it was like the easiest read of all of them.
Oh.
Which is cool.
I mean, it's only like a couple issues left, right?
I don't know. I didn't know if it was like ongoing or what.
I think it's like a mini series, which seems weird
because
I feel like it lends itself to be
The pacing of it feels like it could be ongoing, and I'd be like, that makes sense.
Yeah, like it could be like, you know, Wiccan Divine.
Yeah.
But the 6 issues.
Oh, okay.
So finished in February.
All right. Well, I like it so far. Like I read this one and I was like, that was like, yeah. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, number 4 comes out today.
I'm still kind of confused on the dynamic of some of those god people, but this one's kind of like an origin of Etienne and like what he was like as a kid.
Etienne. Oh, wait, no. Okay. So the first trade is the first 5 issues.
Okay.
But it'll continue with number 6 the following month.
Gotcha.
So okay. This is a cool release schedule because it's like, 1 a month, and then the trade comes out the following month after 5, mm-hmm. and then 6 comes out the following month.
So there's like a gap month almost.
For the trade. Yeah.
Yeah, for the trade.
Which I think, like that. Which is how it should be, I
think. That's a good system, because you could read the trade and be like, this is sick.
Because then that could be a really cool hardcover if it's totally like a deluxe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm sure with like how popular it's been, it'll go for a while.
Yeah. But this one is, I think, pretty compelling, and there's like a wild cliffhanger.
Okay.
Where I was like, even I was like, that's unexpected. Like, what the fuck happened there?
Sweet.
So I liked it.
Nice.
I also read The Moon Is Following Us, number 2.
Yeah, I meant to read that one, but
it's great. There's actually a lot of Dana Warren Johnson in this.
Nice.
Which is cool. I mean, it's a lot of like explaining like why things are the way they are, which they do pretty quickly.
Right.
And no spoilers, but there is a page where there's both Dana Warren Johnson art and the other dude.
Need help?
Yeah.
Riley Rossmo
art. There's like a page where it's both of their art on there.
Hmm.
And
wonder how they paid for that. Yeah, half a page written.
So it was pretty cool.
That's neat.
It was like a splash page of both.
Are they
their
sticking
art
with like the DWJ on the real world stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like setting wise, like Dana Warren Johnson on the real world stuff and then Riley Rossmo on the dream stuff.
Nice.
So I really like that too.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's just a banger. He's like,
He is a banger.
He is a banger. He always cooks with anything he does. So I like it.
Nice.
And then I read The Moon Knight Fist of Khonshu number 1 because I had it. And I was like, I said I was going to give it a shot. And it's fine.
Yeah. You did your fan due diligence and gave it a shot.
Yeah. Because there's been like a couple number 1s of this damn Moon Knight run that's been done by the same creative team for like a while.
They're really pulling a dark horse.
So this one seemed like a good jumping on point. And when I was reading it, and I was like, nothing's really changed from when I was reading the book like 2 years ago.
Wow.
And so I might pick up number 2.
You'll see what the stack looks like.
I'll see what the stack looks like. If the stack's too big, I'm dropping that shit. But, you know, it's fine. It's really funny because like the first page, I was like, oh, God, I'm not going to like this. Because he's trying to get into a nightclub. And he's dressed as Mr. Knight. So he's got the suit on.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like
club wear.
He's not saying anything as he's walking up to the thing. And the bodyguards are like, there's a dress code. And then Moon Knight's like, really? Because my suit is like killer or something like that. And then he punches the guy through the door. And I'm like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, what was that?
I got to use that.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, this could be bad. It wasn't like that cheesy like the rest of the book, but that was just kind of a cheesy opener for me.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
For sure.
What did you read this week?
I read Creature Commandos, number 1.
Ooh.
by David Desmalchin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's writing that. It's weird.
Is he part of that show?
No. But so the thing is with like DC, it seemed like the idea was that the live action and the animated and the comics were all going to be kind of connected in a way, you know, but this Creature Commandos does not have like the same team or anything. Like Medusa's in it.
Cool.
And the vampire guy's in it, I think. Velcoro.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He was the vampire guy that was in the Frankenstein book.
Oh, okay.
And a handful of people. And so
this is a comic that recently came out?
Yeah, it came out like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And so I read it. It's fine. I'm not going to get number two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I gave it a shot because the show looks promising.
I think it'll be.
I think I'll like the show. Yeah. And that'll be like my favorite thing of these characters, you know?
Yeah.
They set it up to where the big bad of this series is going to be Brainiac.
Okay.
And I was like, is that enough? No, it's not for me to come back. So
no.
Yeah. And so
that's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Definitely out there and kind of random.
I mean, I know we haven't seen the show yet, but since it's like a different cast of characters, is this like a different era of Creature Commandos that they're trying to like make context around? Because I could see that how there would be value in that, making almost like a prequel comic for the thing that you're coming out with.
But perhaps. Maybe that can set it up. I didn't really look into what it was. If I knew it was a prequel, I might be more inclined to, like, if it is a prequel, I'd be more inclined to read more of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just going to pass on that one.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
Stacks are a little heavy recently. I read X Factor number 2.
Okay.
Good stuff. It's like as good as like the first one. You know, that's the
nice
Mark Russell book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Looks really good. So I was reading that to make sure I was still in because 3 and 4 are out and I haven't gotten those yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big stack. So I'm like, I'm not going to get them all right now. Then I read Null Hunter number 1, which is the Michael Walsh sci-fi book. And I can't remember what it is. It's like a sci-fi version of like Greek mythology in a way.
Okay.
So the characters in it are representative of like the gods and stuff.
So there's like a Poseidon guy.
I haven't gotten to that yet. If there is one.
There's a Zeus guy.
It looks super cool. Cause
is it him doing art?
I think so. So it looks really good. But I feel you're just dropped into it. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little confusing because of that. And so I think I'll
didn't grab you
pass on the next one too. Yeah,
that's fair.
Maybe if like I hear about it and they're like, you're wrong, you should have kept going. And I'd be like, yeah, but
okay, all right.
I'll take enough. That. Yeah. I'm wrong all the time.
That's fair.
Did you watch anything?
I watched the first episode of Arcane.
Oh yeah. Me too. Watched it while doing laundry.
I watched it doing nothing else. I might've been eating. But Sophie's really into what's going on this new season. And I just remember watching that first episode and I was like, ah. But then I rewatched this one.
The first episode of the first season?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've seen the episode twice now. But I enjoyed it a lot more the second time, I think. Because I was like, this animation's actually really cool. And I like the design of like the guards or whatever.
Yeah, animation's cool. It's like, there's something there.
Yeah, no, I thought you'd watched
it and then you were telling me to watch it, but I guess not.
No.
Okay. But
I don't think I've told anybody to watch
there
it.
There is like hype around it.
Sophie definitely really likes it. She might have been the one that told you to watch it.
Maybe.
But I mean, it's like won a bunch of like Emmys, I guess.
Oh.
And it's being nominated for the Game Awards for the best video game adaptation.
I don't think it's going to win against.
I think it will win. Fallout's up there.
Fallout, yeah.
No, it'll probably beat out Fallout.
Wow. Okay.
There's a bunch of other ones up there. But I'm really excited for that video game anthology series.
Next Level.
I think that'll be really cool.
Isn't that out?
I think it comes out in December, so it's probably out next week for when this comes out.
Okay.
Like December 10th or something.
That's probably right.
But I think the Warhammer one's going to be like the coolest one.
For sure.
Just putting that out there. I'll probably like it the most.
Yeah.
Because I've seen like Warhammer fan animations and it's fucking wild.
Fan animations?
Yeah. Like they do a really good job with just like making shit look cool. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be cool in that show.
Sweet.
But yeah, I like Arcane. I'll probably catch up on it once we're done with Daredevil, which we're on the third season now.
Ooh. So
pretty cool.
Good season.
Mm-hmm. Second season was like a lot weaker than what I remember.
I don't remember a lot about the second season.
After Punisher goes to jail.
Oh, yeah, there's a
kind of like them trying to figure out what's going on with the hand. And then they're like, we can bring people back from the fucking dead. And then the beginning of the season three is after the Defenders TV show. And it just starts with
him in the church.
Him in like the church. But he's like, he starts in like this really trippy sequence where he's being buried by a building that was collapsing on him.
Mm-hmm.
And Elektra, who had just died the episode before, in this is like back alive and they're kissing each other when the building collapses on them. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about all this. So I like pause it and I was like, let me just tell you,
whoa,
like,
whoa, whoa.
It was because they don't explain it at all. They're like, oh man, that was crazy when Elektra came back for that season of television.
There's no recap?
No. I mean, there's like memories that Daredevil has and then he's just like, man, I'm angry now.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's a bummer.
It is. I mean, I didn't even finish the show. So I know it's not needed to understand what's like about to happen.
No.
But it was funny because Sophie like hated Elektra, or like that interpretation of Elektra because she didn't have the size.
She's too woke.
She's too woke.
She was a white Jennifer Garner.
She was British and she didn't have size for a really long time.
I like how Sophia like is hanging on to the worst version.
It's so funny.
And she's like, what the fuck?
She's like, why didn't they get Jennifer Garner? And I'm like, that's
because she was like 40.
Not only that, but then that makes it confusing because it's like, where's Ben Affleck then?
You know? Yeah.
It's like the implications of that, of putting her in this, would be just make no sense whatsoever. But she just loves that.
That's
version.
Like there's a new Batman movie. We're like, where's Val Kilmer?
Explaining her like her complaints with the show. And I'm like, this is all really valid, actually. So I was like, you know, I don't fault her for not liking that season a whole lot. But Punisher stuff is really good.
Right.
Anyway, what have you been watching?
Rewatch Mindhunter. The Netflix show,
mm-hmm.
David Fincher. It's like two seasons.
I don't remember that. don't know what that is.
It's a thing that came out like pre-pandemic, and because like David Fincher had like a Netflix deal, and that was like a show that he like directed some and like show ran basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like set in the 70s, and it's about like the people who work in the FBI who kind of made the connection that there's like serial killers and like coined the term serial killer.
Okay.
Like basically figuring out that some killers have like MOs and that there's like reasons why they're serial killers and stuff like that. And I think I've always told Sarah about it as far as like just TV shows whenever we scroll past on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, I guess she's out, we're almost done with it.
It had two seasons?
It had two seasons, and the thing about it is that it was, like, canceled after two seasons. Ooh. But it was, like, set up to have more. And I remember it being, like, super good throughout, but I think just the first season is, like, really good stuff, and the second season just kind of drags a little.
Tight.
Yeah, but super solid, like, television. And cool. It's, like, the number one thing I'm mad that Netflix canceled, I would say.
It's where they burned you most.
Because it's like, you saw like The Killer, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it looks like that.
That's cool.
Because like, that's just how Fincher movies look,
yeah,
you know, now at least. And so it's just like that, but like extended, you know, for like 10 episodes or whatever.
It's like a faraway shot of someone at their desk or something.
Yeah, it's awesome. Everything's a little gray, you know?
Everything's a little further out than you'd expect.
Yeah. So yeah, really solid show. And then we have like one more episode of that.
Nice.
And then for some reason, Sarah wanted to watch Million Dollar Baby.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Do you know what it is?
I don't think so.
So it's a Clint Eastwood movie from like 20 years ago. It's got Hilary Swank in it. And Clint Eastwood's like a boxing trainer.
Okay.
And he starts out with the movie. He's training Mike Coulter.
So he's like 60 at this point?
Yeah.
Wow.
Still pretty old. And Mike Coulter's like his like...
ginormous.
He's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And younger. And he's like his champion fighter, but he doesn't think like he's ready for like the title, you know? And so he's like, a couple more fights, then we'll do the title fight. But Mike Coulter like leaves him as like his manager and like goes to some other manager to get him the title fight.
Okay.
And so he was kept getting bugged by Hilary Swank's character, who's a country girl who like doesn't have any training, but has gotten some undercard fights and just kind of is begging him to train her.
Yeah.
And then he eventually does. She does like really good. And then, it's like a boxing movie.
Why is it called Million Dollar Baby?
So I knew what happened because of Scary Movie 4, I think, okay. Where they make fun of one of the scenes where they start to get more aggressive with some of the fights that she does. And she goes and fights this boxer who's really aggressive and does a lot of cheap shots and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And she, in that fight, she knocks down this girl, but then the round's over. But the girl gets up and hits her without her knowing. And then she falls and she breaks her neck on a stool.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember in Scary Movie 4 where someone breaks their neck and then everyone starts falling and they all break their necks. Yeah. And that was the bit or whatever.
I think I remember that vaguely.
And so Sarah didn't know what was happening. No, didn't know that happened. And so she's paralyzed and is only kept alive by a breathing machine or whatever. Mm. And then Hilary Swank's character wants to die. But he's like, no, I won't do it. You'll be fine. You know, even though she's clearly not, yeah. But she asks him to kill her. And then eventually he does by just turning off her breathing machine, and injecting her with some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's how the movie ended. It's got
But why is it called Million Dollar Baby?
Because she's the fight that she was doing, she would have won $500,000 or something.
Okay.
And so she was worth $1 million, but she couldn't move by herself. Right. She's
that sucks.
A quadriplegic or whatever.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. And so I guess you could maybe think about what that the name's kind of a spoiler in a way. But this movie had Morgan Freeman in it.
Mm.
And it had Anthony Mackie in it. He was someone who trained at the boxing gym. It had the dude who plays Hiccup, Jay something.
Baruchel.
Jay Baruchel. Yeah. He's in that. He's a Southern boxer who's not very.
He's a boxer?
He's like.
Or is he a numbers guy?
He's a guy who trained at the gym, but he always talked about how he was gonna train, but he clearly wasn't.
Yeah. I like that. That fits him.
Yeah. And so, pretty good movie. That movie got four Oscars, I think. It was
cool.
Best actor, best director, best movie. Mm-hmm. Of that year. I'm like, damn, this must have been kind of a shitty year for movies. Because it was good, but I'm not gonna rewatch it. Because it was fair. Really sad at the end.
Yeah.
You know. So spoilers for this 20-year-old movie.
People just liked being sad in a movie maybe. Back then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty good, I guess, if you want to watch that.
Yeah.
It's something I always knew about but never watched, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a cool movie to watch, if you were into boxing. For that weekend, you right. know, but there's definitely better boxing movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
That's a good question.
I'm gonna ask you that because you it's my get birthday. To pick.
You don't get to tell me
it's
shit.
Your birthday. I can't oppose.
And I've thought a lot about this.
It's your week. You thought a lot. It's here.
There's a lot of things that I like, and you haven't read, or if you have read, you don't like talking about it. So I was like,
don't like talking about it.
Or I was like, maybe I can make it easier for me for doing the notes and we could do step by bloody step, a completely silent book.
Sure.
That'd be good. But we're not going to do that. But Ultimate Spider-Man, you don't want to read. And we're not going to do that either. But I was thinking about it.
We just did Spider-Man.
That's true. And now what else was I thinking about? I thought of a couple different things, but I landed ultimately on probably what you figured I was gonna bring up, but we're gonna be doing Captain Atom, the new 52 run.
Yeah,
because I vetted it and I was like, this book is kind of fucking good.
Okay.
The art wise at least, because I was just flipping through it.
Yeah,
and this is one of those books where I remember reading it, I was in college and I just figured out how to download comics on my phone, and I was reading this and I was like, this book's fucking crazy.
Okay.
It was one of the first books where I'm like, wow, the art is really cool. It was one of those first times I had that
yeah
happened to me. So we're gonna read that.
Sweet.
Captain Atom. It's probably not gonna be as good as I remember it, but it'll at least be fun to revisit.
Probably not.
But we never did a Captain Atom book, so
yeah, no, we haven't.
That'll fill that void that
he's hardly in the things we've read before.
Yeah. So Captain Atom,
Sweet.
The new 52 one.
Sounds good.
Are you still excited?
Mildly excited. I'm like, hopefully it's not very long.
I don't think it's very long.
Okay. So, sounds good.
All right.
Nathan has spoken.
I have. I was going to do something that neither of us had read either, but I've just been curious about. But I forget what I was looking at.
You're practically going to be rereading this, you know?
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for watching. If you think that Nathan picked a bad book and want us to read something different, email us at tradewriterspod@gmail.com.
Also, check in next week. I have to do a cake shake.
Yes, so drink birthday. The whole cake shake.
I was wrong about Blue Beetle first appearance.
Yeah. Traders, link in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe, and stuff like that.
Yep.
And
thanks for listening.
I think this will come out. This is like come out on Black Friday. So I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Hope you ate lots of food.
Yeah. I hope you're super full.
Taking advantage of sweet deals.
Yeah. Go get some comics at your local comic shop.
Oh, yeah. They normally do sales. Go do that.
Hell yeah.
You can buy the Captain Atom trade.
You sure can. And you can follow along.
All
righty. Goodbye.
Peace.